I'm going to move on, if that's okay. And I want to talk about the reality of where we have been as a church. This year, as we sort of dial down and think about where we've been and where we want to go, the Lord sort of gave me five P's to put it under for the coming year. Prayer, public policy, wait, hold on to your hats, power, progress, and personal. So prayer, as I've been pressing into this, I've heard some really great teachings on this. Prayer is the process of allowing ourselves to remain open to God and His formation of us, His formation of our hearts. So as we pray and we press into the heart of God for answers, as we hunger and desire for more of God's heart, we have to yield ourselves more to God's will, not to our desired outcomes. You heard me speak to that a little bit this morning. As our faith meets God's will, we yield our desire to the person of God and His sovereign desire. If our relationship with God is dependent on Him meeting our hopes and expectations, we'll likely lose hope and struggle with our faith. If our desire for God is built on a relationship and following His lead, we'll find satisfaction because He'll meet us in those needs. He'll meet us in that place. He'll meet us and show us a better way most of the time. At St. Luke's, we are a house of prayer. We know that prayer is transforming and it shapes us and shapes the people around us. We trust God with big things, and I believe that we are going to see in the future things that shape our hope, shape our future as we move ahead. So in order to do this, we've got to plumb some of the corporate things that hold us back. We've heard people give testimony of this. I've heard the rumors of some bitter roots, things that have gone on in the past, of past disappointments, loss of a building, loss of friendships of people left the church, voices that aren't the same as the voices of the past, pastoring that's not the same as the pastoring of the past, music that's not the same as the music of the past. We can all start to, ruminate and start to go, well, I want church like Burger King. Have it my way. And, some of those things you have to address because we've got to be open to correction and growth for all of us along the way. But the fact of the matter is we also need to clean house of those bitter roots, those disappointments that still hang on. I heard that people made such sacrifices that they took out mortgages. They gave away engagement rings to be pawned. They took deep cuts in their income in order to build a building that we lost. And I believe that there's still bitter roots there for the sacrifices that people made. And they may not be as evident in this congregation here, but it affects here, right? Just like generational sin, we talked about this when the Allens were here, that if we don't deal with the fact that the generations that led up to who we are here today have affected us, and we need to cut that root out, then we're just going to let it come back to life again and again and again. And I hear those things, ruminating in our disappointments. And I just want to flag it and say, hey, St. Luke's, we need some cleansing. We need to do some work here. I think it's my prayer that we can learn to yearn. There's a bumper sticker for you. We can learn to yearn for the future of doing things God's way, in God's time, by God's design, in unity, as one body, not a divided body with lots of, pulling apart directions, but one body that can go, oh, wow, I could have done this on my own, but it's so much better when we're together. First thing, prayer. Next, your favorite, public policy. Public policy? Yeah, it's only because I didn't want to say the other P word. Politics. But I think this year is really key for us as a church, and I think it's key for our culture, and I don't want to avoid it. I'm not afraid of talking politics. I'm just not going to talk party politics. I'm not going to preach it. I'm not going to tell you what politician you should be running after. You guys are smart people. You can go figure that out. And some of you are going to be wrong. And some of you are going to be right. At the end of the day, like siblings, we've got to make sure that you're not pointing things at each other and tearing each other apart with your opinions, but that we're seeking biblical, godly direction, and we're following that over any public policy. So because it's a year that's going to be affected by every piece of social media and media around us, let's seek to convey the truth with verifiable fact in our lives. Let's be a people of the book so that our facts are best backed up with biblical principles. Because of the difficulties of past elections and the potential for us to be entrapped by confusion in all the airwaves, I'll continue to encourage a policy of Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. If that can be your filter for everything that gets said this year, you know, we have a history, even in the Bible, of not so great people being God's anointed, blessed, for the purposes of carrying out his kingdom plan. Nobody's perfect, right? So if you're waiting for the perfect church to come along, I say don't join it, because then it won't be perfect anymore. If you're waiting for the perfect president to come along, don't back them, because they're going to fail you somehow. The reality is we have to trust and ask for God's will. So ask lots of questions, encourage all your friends to vote, trust in God's sovereignty, speak lovingly about everyone in your life and witness, and be a witness that shines your light, the light of Christ, in the community around you. Amen? Okay, public policy done. Power. Here's one that I think that I've struggled with a great deal of my life. My family would account for the fact that my first mantra was, I do my loan. And I had an authority issue. I didn't know where it came from. I wouldn't say that my father was heavy-handed. I'd actually say my father was a pacifist. He avoided conflict. He hated, I mean, I got the belt, let me tell you, just like every other kid in my family, that was the symbol of authority growing up in the 60s. I mean, that was just reality. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't realize what was being built in me in the spiritual realm was a spirit of fear and a reality that I didn't understand or like authority. I didn't like anybody telling me what to do. And so when we were growing up in that, I had to get some cleansing, or I had some great disappointments because I wasn't in charge and I did things the wrong way and I found out the hard way. I found out I was one of those happy-go-lucky, okay, I did it wrong, I'll figure it out, we'll do it again, no big deal. But for some, that's not enough. And I had to figure out what was authority and what was earthly expectation and all of those things. The Holy Spirit can transform, empower, freeze, amaze, and undo anything that's in the authority structures around us. In the church, powers dispense under God's authority. All authority comes from him. He's appointed positions of authority to those who he chooses. Why am I talking about authority? Why am I talking about a power in what I see for this coming year? It's because I think that when we respect the authority that's been given, the positions that we've been given in the church, then we function under that authority and trust it then we will be greater unified. When we're pushing against, now, mind you, this is not saying don't ask questions, don't buck the system. I really believe that the hardest questions and the most oppositional questions only makes us more unified and more strong as a church. But it's got to come through the respect of honoring the authorities that have been given. So what happens in churches, and I'm sure it doesn't happen here, I've never seen it, is that we have experts who think that, you know, people who can come along and do it better. I could do that better. I'm just going to do it. How are you going to do that? You're not in charge of the budget. You haven't gone to the committee. You haven't been on the vestry. You haven't. I'll just do it. I'm just going to do it. I know where I can get the materials. I'm just going to do it. Now, you could talk about things in the church. You can talk about small groups. You can talk about teachings. You can talk about whatever you want to. Again, can you see the division that causes? Because it's factioning off, you know. Father Dan's not going to talk about politics, so we're going to find our own way to talk about politics. Father Dan's not going to talk about, fill in the blank. It's not any one thing, but we all have strong opinions about all these different areas in our life. Please come to me. My door is open. My heart is open. My life is open. My eyes are open. My brain is on. Sometimes. I always grieve when I hear that somebody has come to a conclusion that either is not true or is ill-informed, and then they're walking out. They're going somewhere because we haven't got to a place where we could work through all the details. And I'm the last person to hear. And my prayer is that if we operate under authority, we'll respect the various players on the vestry and throughout the congregation that are put in that authority. Progress. I think there's an interior closet that God is working on, and he's working on it already. We've been talking about a rule of life. We've been talking about, how do we curate a church that cares for the poor, that is less focused on, we tried our outreach event this year instead of doing something that we think, you know, I think it has its place. We think it's going to attract a ton of people to St. Luke's, but the next Sunday morning, there's not new people here with us. We saw some great antique cars. We had a lot of fun. Cotton candy all over Kevin Pickard. But we have yet to see the kind of growth that comes from. And I know all of those things help. It's like advertising. Advertising has to hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you until years later. It really sort of takes root and it goes, oh, I should have a Roomba. Whatever it is. I think once people get the sense that we are a church of prayer, we are a church of transformation, we're a church of healing in this area, we won't be able to stop people coming through those doors. So there is progress happening in the house. And our Journey into Wholeness program, some of the teachings that I'm going to work with my brothers and sisters, my deacons and priests that have joined us, we're going to continue to work, not a program, not a 10 steps to the best way to live, but some things that will help us have more tools in our tool belt to be able to keep growing in Christ. Last thing, personal. As I said, it's been a great year and it's been a hard year. Our year began as we planned a trip to Florida that we didn't expect. Just after Christmas, we heard that Kristen's father had collapsed and we felt the need to go. The Lord told us, just go. When we got there, on our way down, we found out that he had a grapefruit-sized brain tumor. Not grapefruit-sized, that's expansive, but it was bigger than could be dealt with, or it was not operable. And we had no idea what that meant or how much time or what, you know, all those things. Many of you know what that's like. We came home and expected to turn right around back to go, and it didn't happen until around Holy Week, just before Holy Week. They called us because Mike was put in hospice, and we spent that time not just transitioning Mike, but helping our mother-in-law get to the place where she could exist and survive after losing her husband. So then we had a wonderful chance in May to be with my brothers and their wives, and we went sailing. And we had a 10-day tour like nobody's business. It was wonderful. It was vacation. It was beautiful. Yet my brother was barely there. And 3 weeks after that trip was over, he was with Jesus. We were, you know, weathering those storms as well as we could, and coming back and plugging into the things that were going on here. And in September, we had the trip of a lifetime chance to go to Israel and to plan for a trip this year with you. And all those plans are right there. They're in place and ready to pull out and plug in. Just not this year. As we know, Hamas had other plans. So September kind of ended with a strange twist. And then about the middle of November, I got a phone call from my sister, and she said, just get ready. Mom's not got long for this world. And it was just before Christmas that my mom went to be with Jesus, and we celebrated with her. I was talking to Vivian yesterday about this. There's a moment in time where some of your loved ones, when they're ready to go, they've been ready for a long time. And as much as I grieve not being able to hug her twisted sense of humor and be with her as she says crazy things, and you just love her for it anyway. I'm just so happy that she's free. Personally, we've had a hard year, but in that year, it's just been an extension of the losses that we have continued to have over the last 3 or 4 years, starting with Jan. And I've just got to say, the Lord has taken my father-in-law, my father in God, my intercessor, lead intercessor from Virginia, several friends, a couple cousins, important people around us in this life. And he just keeps saying to me, it's your turn. It's your turn. I don't know if you've heard that from the Lord, from the losses in your life. But St. Luke's, I believe it's not just for me. It's your turn. The Lord's not done with you yet. I've said that since the time I walked in the door. He's not done with you yet. No matter what your condition or what the Lord has allowed in your life, it's not a burden that can't be undone. And if you have a mind and have a phone, you can impact a lot of people. It doesn't take able-bodied, oh, I can't do ministry because I don't get around like I used to. Well, you know what? We all could do so much. We just have to be creative and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today for you? God's not done with us yet. And so I look back on this year and I think about what it is that he wants to do. He certainly wants us to pray. He certainly wants to us to influence public policy. He wants us to understand what the truth is, what biblical truth is, what our voice needs to be in the process so that we can be helpful people, not repulsive Christians. Do you know what I'm saying? I think there's so much of modern Christianity that's being rejected by the world today because we just have it right and they're all wrong. And we might be right. But I think the Lord wants us not to offend people. And he wants us to remain unoffendable. If you can remain unoffendable and not be offensive with your rightness, you might just influence some people into changing their minds about where they are. You might be an influencer. I believe that if we are people under authority, we love and respect the authorities in our lives, regardless of whether we think they're right or not, we are showing the kind of honor that God has shown us and wants us to show him. will go far. I promise you. I know lots of Marine Corps guys that have said, listen, my authority is the guy who gives the orders, and I am a man under orders. And when I do what he says, people's lives are saved. I'm going to do what he says. I don't have to agree with what he tells me to do. I'm a man under authority, and I've been taught and trained and prepared to do what I've been told to do. I think we are on an upward trajectory as a church. We, as people in the church under authority, are going to operate in a way that there's going to be progress. Things are going to change and get better. Yes, most of us are going to look back and say, I wish it was like the old days. There's things to love about those old days. Nobody's telling you not to appreciate what was. But God wouldn't want you to be frozen in time looking backwards. I'm not saying you're going to turn into a pillar of salt or anything. But to be frozen in time with expectations of the past when we could be eyes open enjoying what's here right now. So, finally, it's personal, isn't it? This journey in Christ. He sees it all. He knows it all. Beyond the work of Lucifer and his minions, beyond the spiritual realm, he knows what you're thinking. Satan doesn't. He's not all-knowing. He influences us to evil, but he doesn't know our thoughts. The Lord knows our thoughts. And guess what? He loves us anyway. That's a miracle. It's personal because, like, how you dance is personal. You don't want anybody watching you. You want to just enjoy the music. You might not have any rhythm, but you just want to get out there and be free. And yet our fear, our doubt, our shame, our spouses might tell us, don't you dare dance around me. It's personal because it's a dance with God. Our life in Christ is a dance with God. It is an opportunity for us to ebb and flow with him, to recognize that he wants a relationship with us and he wants us to grow. So for 2023, my prayer is that you'd have the freedom to dance. 2024, sorry. That you'd have the freedom spiritually to dance. If you can't keep a rhythm, that might be a different story. I'm all done with what I have to say. I think we've got a lot of hope and potential for the coming year. Remember that we need to be a house of prayer. Remember that we need to influence the culture around us. Remember that we are under an authority that is so much bigger than Dan Morgan or any other authority we might come under for our work or our play. We are under a trajectory. Like, if we don't take these toys that God has given us, the resources that he's given us, and do something with them, they're gonna rot. We've got so much potential here. And then finally, let it be personal. Let him know you. It's good to be known by the Lord. Let all those old tapes and old roots get torn out so that you can be free. Amen? Here concludes my thoughts. Any questions? I know y'all want to stay here for another hour. We've gone way over the 45. Yes, Mary.
You had 6 P's potential.
There you go. There you go. I need more P's. Just give me some more P's. Potential. That's a great one. There's leftover split pea soup. All right. Let me conclude with a prayer, okay? If there aren't any more questions, please ask those questions that you didn't want to ask so that the meeting doesn't go longer, but please come find Jim or myself or a vestry member. We're glad to answer your questions. Father, we're so grateful for the ways that you bless us, the ways that you've spoken to us, the ways that you've transformed and shaped and helped us. Help us to be putty in your hands, transparent with each one around us. Let go of our own agendas. walk in freedom, not live with the weight of fear, shame, or doubt. Help us to be what you've made us to be, which is transformed members of the body, living with the light of Christ in us. And let the world around us watch out, because we're going to see some change this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.